Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. Well, let me turn to my guest who is here with me this morning. The one and only Bart Wilsey is here from the Farmington Museum. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you
for having me. With this assignment that I gave you, I mean, this is, I think, interesting, and I think probably you do too.
Well, it is, yeah.
You showed up at least, you're entertaining me, so yeah.
Sure, entertain Scott.
Right. But, I mean, Farmington and San Juan County during this other pandemic, and it was a pandemic, the
Absolutely.
Spanish flu.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of folks got sick, a lot of folks died, and we'll talk about that in just a moment.
Right.
But this is 1918,
1919,
and that's when it got here,
in the
northwest corner of New Mexico. And so at that time, we should talk a little bit about some of the things that were going on. As I mentioned, we had maybe, just a few years after statehood.
Well, yeah, it was only 6-7 years after statehood. So, it was really, really early here in Farmington's history. So, it was a very small place.
Right, exactly. And so we had, statehood was 1912.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other things we were talking about, there was a giant flood, a big flood in 1911.
Right.
Which caused a lot of damage, right, and some deaths.
Absolutely. There were a couple of deaths from that. Not many, thankfully.
Right.
But there was also two fires in that decade, too, one in 1910 and one in 1914, both what we call downtown.
Right.
So they really changed the architecture and the scene downtown.
Because those were blocks of buildings that were destroyed in those two fires, both of them, right? Lots of damage.
Yep,
so.
Lots of damage. You know, one on the Three Rivers Brewery side, and then one on the north side of Main Street.
Right.
So yeah, it really changed the landscape down there.
And that's why we don't have a lot of those old, maybe wooden buildings,
really,
because they burned down and they rebuilt with brick.
Exactly.
They didn't want that to happen again,
right.
Or at least not as easily,
not
perhaps,
as easily.
Right?
Yeah.
So interesting. So we have a picture of downtown Farmington from about this time, I think, right?
Yep. That's,
and if we show it, this is Main Street right around Wall, I guess, right? Would be the street coming in, because you can see this, the corner of what is now Artifacts.
Right, right.
The lumber yard on the far right-hand side.
Looking west, yep. Mm-hmm. Lumber yard on the right-hand side.
Kind of the cornice on the top.
Right.
Thing there.
Matches
wall.
That.
Yeah.
And, of course, the City Hall at that time was right across the street. That's the brick building on the left-hand side.
We see
City Hall.
Most of the sign of that. And right now, this is where the new yogurt ice cream place is, kind of a gas station.
Yes, which was for sale again.
Okay. So it's a closed yogurt store, but whatever, but it's there. But it's that gas station right at kind of the top of where Main and Wall Street come into play there on the south side of Main Street.
Near TJ's Diner.
Yeah. Exactly. And so looking down, we're looking west, as you said. But anyway, you can kind of see the cars, which are awesome. They look really cool.
Right.
And so.
But it was a very, small town. I mean, that was it for commerce right there.
You can see it. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And I meant to look up the census figures about population in this era, and I don't recall, but
well,
I imagine it was what?
It was about 700 from what I understand.
Okay.
Between 700 and 800 people.
So that would be comparing it to modern day Silverton.
Right.
Maybe. I think even that's small. Maybe that's San Juan County, Colorado, is 700 people. But that size.
Yeah.
Right.
Very, very small.
And so at this time, too, again, Aztec is at least as big, if not a little bit bigger, than Farmington at this time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
absolutely,
it was the county seat. We'd gotten that resolved, that whole incident. And then it was really kind of the place. And the train had...
train came through there, and they had a depot, so they did a lot of business through Aztec, too. So.
Right. And the train came to Aztec first, right? And then
right.
there was a little delay before it was extended to Farmington, wasn't there?
Right.
And that was around 1905. So again, a few years before this.
Yeah, 1905, yeah.
And Farmington was founded as a city incorporated in 1902, we thought. 1902,
somewhere in there, yeah.
So again, not too
close.
Yeah. So here we are in 1918, 1919.
Right.
And the Spanish flu is coming along. And again, that's kind of a misnomer because it really is the Kansas flu.
Wasn't really Spanish, yeah. Right. But, you know, during World War I, Spain was neutral. So they actually reported a lot on the flu. And that's why people kind of
called it Spanish flu.
Even
though it was not all Spain, over the place.
Yeah, it was. It was worldwide.
And a lot of things that folks thought helped it to spread was the soldiers coming back from the war, from World War I in Europe.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so they brought it, probably, back to this country.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so like we're seeing now, it was spreading, and it got into even remote places like Farmington, New Mexico, and San Juan County, which, you know, we didn't have a lot of travelers like we do today.
Right.
But we still had a lot of patients, didn't we?
Well, you know, once it's in a community, it, as we know, it spreads.
Right.
So, yeah, it was the same back then as it is now.
And there were some kind of stay-at-home orders like we're seeing today.
We saw
some, I think we've seen some posts from the newspapers of the day talking a little bit about these things, right?
And kind of a shout-out to Hannah Grover at the Daily Times for the piece that she did because, that there were orders to stay home and not congregate.
Right.
which is hard to do. I mean, we're social creatures.
There's no Amazon in 1918, exactly. So how are you going to shop, right?
Exactly. You had to go out for some stuff.
Right. Yeah. But that was the era. So I want to show some of the other pictures because I think they're just fascinating.
Oh, absolutely. What
we're talking about in this era. And again, thanks to the museum and to you for making these available. But we should give credit to the museum archives.
Yep.
So this is another great shot of a leafy street.
Very leafy.
This is Orchard Avenue,
This is Orchard Avenue, yep.
And we're looking south towards Main Street.
Looking south toward Main Street, you can see the building, which is Three Rivers, at the end of that right there.
So, right.
Very cool. It's almost like we're standing right in front of the E3 Children's Museum.
So that cross street right there would be La Plata Street.
Right.
And then the other one, major street there, is Orchard. But yeah, there's a lot of trees.
Lot of trees at that time. You know, there are still a few big ones down there, but it's changed quite a bit.
Definitely. But but another great shot. And I know there's a ditch that runs through there that probably helps those trees, and they were probably there at that time. It's one of those early things, right?
Probably.
Ditches were a big part of this area in those days.
Well, they were. You know, they dug those almost as early as people arrived here, you know, when they opened it up for settlement and, you know, started irrigating off of those.
Right.
And that's...
And growing
that's
things.
That's what...
Farmington.
Farmington grew out of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that was part of that. But there's another shot. And then this picture now is
This picture is the home of Dr. and Mrs. Sammons. You know, he was an early prominent physician here in Farmington. He did have a clinic or an office thing in his house that he worked out of, too. But he also worked at the hospital. His wife was Harriet Sammons, which was one of the...
She has a lot of stories.
Yes, a lot of stories. She was the first bank president...
One of the first
in the nation.
Okay.
Yeah.
First National Bank.
Yep. You know, she saw that bank through the Depression in the 30s and you know, it's very well known.
But Dr. Sammons would have been maybe seeing some of these patients.
He would have been seeing and treating some of these patients that had
Spanish flu. Gotcha.
Absolutely.
And again, I didn't do my homework, Bert, we'll see, but maybe you did for me, about the numbers of patients or victims that we saw here during that time. But it was a lot of people were getting sick and dying from this all over the world.
Right. Well, kind of another shout-out to Hannah in the article that she wrote, you know, they didn't track the numbers very well.
Hmm.
And so we know how many people died, like, say, right out of Farmington proper. There were 11.
Okay.
But You know, she also said there was a death up in La Plata that wasn't counted. The deaths over in Shiprock weren't counted. So, you know, the record or recording of that event was not very good. So there were many more people that died than was reported at that time.
I understand.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So. But it was still more than usual.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
It certainly got folks' attention, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it wasn't
your
usual.
In fact, you know, they said that more people passed away, you know, in the Shiprock area than in Farmington. So, yeah, it was definitely an event.
Right. And so there were and all those things that go along with it, right? Where do you put these bodies and what
well,
do you do
yeah.
and how do you keep
and,
everyone
you
else
know,
safe?
In Mary Lou's book, Homesteads to Boomtown, she talks about, you know, people looking in on each other and, like, one family would visit their neighbors and all of the people in the house would be down sick.
Ooh,
so,
right.
You know, people were looking out for each other.
Nice.
But yeah.
I'm not surprised, knowing the community the way it is, you know, people look out for
well,
each other
and,
here.
And, you know, one person gets it and, yeah, it's...
The concept of social distancing maybe wasn't quite as evolved in 1918.
Well, and it probably wasn't as understood, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Or how viruses work and all
mm-hmm.
that stuff. I mean, I would
sure.
probably agree with you there. So,
yep.
interesting. Another
mm-hmm.
picture that I found that I
yes.
wanted to share, too, because it's something somewhat relative, right? This was the school.
It was, yep.
And not just the high school or middle school. This was the
all,
school.
All schools.
All grades.
Yes.
The old
mm-hmm.
school, and this was again on Wall Street.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And on the hill, it's kind of behind, I would think, maybe where Swinburne was.
Right. It,
in that
it was.
Plot of land,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Long gone. This was maybe right before it got torn down. You can kind of see it's probably been abandoned or not being used by as a school anymore
yeah,
when this
I
picture
think,
was taken.
I think it was torn down in kind of in the early 80s.
Right.
When that.
But
when
that's
that
what it looked
but,
like.
Yeah, I mean.
And had been added on to several times, I think, too,
yep.
with this picture.
Significant number of kids grew up, went to school.
I love the stories that I see sometimes
oh, yeah.
on the old Facebook groups mm-hmm. about memories from this school. And, of course,
I used to talk to Bob Culpepper about that a lot.
Right?
He had a ton of stories.
There was something about during a fire drill, if you were on the second floor, there
right.
was a unique way to get out of the building.
You had to go out one of the windows, and I don't remember if it was like a slide or something that they made.
A pole? Or I don't
pole
know what they were.
Or,
right?
Yeah. But,
yeah.
Yeah, it was creative.
Yeah, I would think so. So, anyway. So this was the school in
right.
those days,
in
right,
those
where
days,
all the grades
yep.
went.
Mm-hmm.
And there weren't very, as you mentioned, only 700 people in the city,
not,
the town.
Right.
So their graduating class was pretty small.
Pretty small.
Yeah.
And
here
know,
they are.
And those are the kids that probably, you know, went to school. You know, there were probably
right.
other ones that were working on the farm and maybe didn't get all the way through school at
right.
that time. So, yeah.
But
these
this was
were
the class
the
of, I think, 1917,
think
if you read it on their hats.
1917, yep.
The nine students.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
Yep.
But that was the class from that time.
Yep.
So interesting, right?
Yep.
And so as we move on a little bit, there's the train station in Farmington, right?
Train station. Yep. The train arrived in Farmington October 1905. And, you know, it really provided a way to both get goods in here and produce and livestock out of here.
Right.
So, yeah, it became a real hub of activity. And for people that don't know where this was located, if you go down to Main and Barron, it was, if you go south on Barron from Main, when Barron takes this little jog to the right, if you kept going straight, you would run right into that depot.
That's where it was.
That's where it
right
was.
Right there.
Yep.
Gotcha. So you'd cross Broadway, you'd cross Animus,
right.
and then right after that was probably
right.
around where the tracks came and the station was.
Absolutely. It kind of paralleled San Juan Boulevard coming down.
Right.
And then got into the downtown area there.
Gotcha. Yep. And that would make sense, of course, because we know a lot of the hotels were then located, the Allen Hotel on
right.
Allen Avenue.
Right.
The, now the name escapes me there on Main Street, but the big hotel that was there at Main and
oh, the Avery.
The Avery, thank
yep.
you. Yep,
mm-hmm.
on Main and yep. Barron, almost right.
Right.
So there's
yep.
that one too. So
yeah.
Anyway,
mm-hmm.
but there you go. And again, this train went north. For folks who don't know, right, this linked us to Durango, and then you linked up with the rail line that in Colorado that would go east-west and could get you up to Denver, I guess, or even back down to Santa Fe and or Albuquerque.
It did. Yeah, that was a roundabout route. Yeah. We were much more connected with Colorado than we were probably the rest of New Mexico at that time.
Right.
Just because of that.
Exactly. And you mentioned about some of the shipments, of course, because we were growing a lot of fruits at that era with farming town.
A tremendous amount of fruit at that time. It's amazing to me when I go back into the archives and look at that. We have documents that show one orchard that was right down near KFC on Main.
Okay.
Right off of downtown there.
Main and Butler
produced over 600,000 pounds of apples.
Oh, my goodness. In one season.
In one season.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they were shipping a tremendous amount of fruit out of here. In fact, we've also documented they were shipping about 2 train car loads every day out of here.
Wow.
During the fruit season, produce season.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so, again, it would go to Durant. And so to get it to market, right, because mm-hmm. I guess the major market would be Denver.
Right.
That would still take maybe
Denver, a day
to maybe make that trip by rail.
Yeah, yeah, if not more.
And to try to get it south, not by train, would take much, much longer.
It would take longer than that, yeah, because you had to go up and around.
Right. Yeah. If you're doing it by rail, if you're doing it over the ground, it would be... horse and wagon.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck. Yeah. Okay.
That's why they were shipping it out by rail.
Route 44 or Highway 550 or anything at that time.
It was a bumpy ride.
It was a dirt road, maybe, if you were lucky.
Yep.
In most places to Albuquerque to point south. Mm-hmm. So interesting. So the train was here, and again, that was your way to get in and out. But you were going north.
Well, and, you know, you talked about the World War I soldiers. That's probably how they got home. At the train station. Yeah, is the train station.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Right? Perfect.
For the most part.
Very good. Speaking of fruit.
Speaking of fruit,
here's some fruit. Right there, right?
Yep.
Do we know who these happy people are?
The gentleman, I believe, is Wayne Walling, and this is fruit from the Walling Orchards.
Okay.
The girl is Vida Voorhees.
Okay.
But these are peaches that they grew in their orchard.
Here in Farmington. Yep, and that orchard was located, do you know where?
I'll probably get in trouble for this, but I think it was down near where the Aquatic Center is.
Okay.
I don't know exactly where it is, and so somebody's probably going to call me and tell me.
Okay, well then you'll know, right?
I would call that maybe
Central Farmington, maybe on Sullivan Avenue there mm-hmm. between Main and 20th.
Right. Right.
So I can be vague.
We have a picture in our archives of a barn and their farm, and it's looking north, and I've always wanted to kind of get it positioned in one of those then and now things
to take
another photograph, but I haven't really figured out exactly where it's
hard
at.
Hard to do. So. Well, and you've done some of those from some other photos, but it's really... Hard to try to, because you're looking maybe at the horizon and really trying to line up the bluffs.
You try and line up the bluffs and the landscape and figure that out. And I've got some surprising ones done now. So
you do. And I didn't put any of those in the show today. But that's okay. We'll have you back for a different show. But it's fascinating.
We were well known for peaches here for many years. And even like last year, the little peach orchard down by the Harvest Grove barn. It broke branches because there were so many peaches on there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It was a tremendous
harvest. And that's amazing to me to talk about farming here because we do have a fairly extreme climate.
We do.
You know,
we do.
And so for people mm-hmm. to come here and then, as you said, dig those irrigation ditches,
right?
Because that was backbreaking work to get that done, and then plow the fields and get the trees planted, and then that doesn't happen immediately to get a peach tree or an apple tree.
It doesn't. In fact, they talk about having a crop from a fruit tree 8 to 12 years after you planted it, and that's a long time.
That's an investment.
That's a huge investment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then figuring out the growing season and when to irrigate and when to do all those farming things that I have no clue about.
And the freezes, we were always
susceptible
to that. In fact, in some of these documents that I had posted, it had a frost clear into June,
which
was, ouch. Yeah.
that's not going to help the crops at all. And even I know that.
Nope.
But yeah, so interesting with all the other stuff that was going on. But that was the life, well, not that, just in during the pandemic, but at that time.
Well, yeah, and to be quite honest, clear up into 40s and 50s, it was still many, many orchards here.
That's right.
That's what the business was.
Until the oil and gas boom. Right, yep. And then things changed a lot. Very quickly. That's true. And that's another show, too.
Yep.
Here we are inside a building that still stands downtown Farmington, the Hunter...
Hunter Mercantile,
yep. Right.
And it's very...
The dusty attic today, we should say, for folks who don't know what we're talking about.
The dusty attic today, but, you know, I included this just to give people kind of a sense of, you know, what was available, what, you know, how businesses worked back
then.
Well,
as I mentioned, there was no Amazon, but this is where you would go if you needed
this
something.
This is where you would go
and you
to...
could see... They had lots of different
lot of
things.
Stuff
they were the stocks. Walmart of their day, I would suppose.
They were, yeah. They were probably it.
Two levels of retail, mm-hmm. right, in that store, mm-hmm. like the Dusty Attic has today. But you can kind of see some of the, I'm going to call it and a saddle, which is the wrong term, on the
harness.
Hanging from the balcony there. But another, maybe some canned goods and other things that are on the shelves.
Right.
And mm-hmm. and you can see.
Dry goods.
Right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And maybe doing some trade. There's a Native American woman in the picture.
Woman and child there, yep. Yep. They did a lot of trade and commerce off of the reservation because, you know, where are you going to go over there? You know,
right.
You'd go to a trading post probably at that time. But, yeah, they would also come into Farmington to shop.
Which, of course... To me, it's fascinating that even 100 years ago, Farmington was still somewhat of a retail hub for some of these areas.
Right.
And again, we mentioned that Aztec was bigger
as
a city. But if you're coming in from the west, you'd hit Farmington
first,
right?
You'd hit Farmington, and that's where you did your business. Yeah,
right.
We were kind of the end of the spur, so to speak, on the rail line. So, yeah, that's kind of what happened.
People. Right. And some of those other settlements then, even Shiprock, did not have as much retail variety then as maybe Farmington did in those days?
No, because you would have to ship it by buckboard or wagon from here to Shiprock.
Gotcha.
And so there wasn't a whole lot of incentive to do that unless you had a trading post or a, you know, something like that.
Right.
So,
interesting. And the other smaller communities to our west, Bart Wilsey, like Kirtland and Fruitland and Waterflow, I mean, those weren't even as developed as Farmington was in those days, were they?
Oh, no.
Even smaller. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Interesting.
Yes.
My guest this morning,
Farmington was, again, the big town.
Well, yeah. And Aztec.
And right? Aztec, yes.
Right. Yeah. Not to give anything.
Oh, yes.
Take anything from Aztec, but yeah. But they were the place.
Sure.
Bart Wilsey's my guest. He's from the Farmington Museum. We were talking about Farmington and San Juan County during the last pandemic in the year around 1918, 1919. And so, radio listeners, I know you're at a disadvantage because we're showing a lot of these wonderful pictures. And so I would encourage you to go watch the video online on our Facebook page and YouTube channel because they're just fascinating. And there's so much detail in these pictures, which I guess is what got them into the archives.
It is,
because you look for things when you add them to a museum collection that really tell, hopefully, the entire story or fill in a lot of the blanks about the story, don't they?
Well, absolutely. You know, and this picture is a great example of that. And it's highly convenient when they hang a calendar on the wall.
Oh, thank you for that. Yes.
That says March 1918. You can date the photograph.
There we go.
By, you know, blowing it up and looking at that calendar. But yes, this is very...
From what the people are wearing to what, again, we can see in the picture and the different products and all those things, right? You can really do a lot
of
work.
You can really understand kind of what the environment was and the way people lived at that time.
Exactly.
Yep.
Very, very true. Very true. This next picture, Bart Wilsey, I want to ask you a bit about. This is the power plant, right?
This is the first power plant that was here in Farmington. This ran off of the right-legged ditch. It's fairly close for people that remember it where the old Atomic Sign shop was.
So it's a little bit maybe just east of the intersection of Main and Butler.
Main and Butler,
on the south side of Main Street.
I believe there's like a Rise Gymnastics place there now.
Okay.
So
right.
Shout out to them, I guess.
Very cool. And so now in 1918, was it
uncommon for places to have electricity? I mean, were we one of the first?
Kind of uncommon, and it was really uncommon because Farmington got electricity in like 1902.
That's very early,
That's
it sounds to me.
Really early.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, we'd been running this for, you know, not quite 20 years.
Interesting.
So.
Now, it doesn't mean everybody got electricity, but it means maybe downtown got electricity.
No. Yeah, downtown was Farmington. But, you know, and they wouldn't even have it on all day long. They would have it on maybe a couple hours in the evening. So you had lights or could do ironing or, you know, stuff like that.
Right. So, and then lights out.
Lights out. In fact, they would even turn the power off, on again, off again, to
flicker
the lights and tell people, finish up what you're doing because lights are going out.
Interesting.
And this generated a whopping 100 horsepower.
Oh, well, there you go.
For people that understand horsepower.
Right. So not a lot.
Not a lot.
You couldn't run a lot with that.
No.
But it was a start.
But it was a start.
And again, in those days, that's what communities were offering. And that was kind of a bit of a one-upsmanship, if you would, right? That if my town has electricity and you know, then yours doesn't, you should move to my town.
Absolutely. And they use that as advertising to recruit people to Farmington.
Right.
It was funny. People were also scared of it.
Well, right.
Know, because it was new and different, and they didn't understand what it was. But
those holes in the wall and the vapors would come out of it.
Right.
People were worried
about
those electric vapors.
You know, they talk about the story of when they were putting in the power poles, one lady went out and jumped into the hole and wouldn't let them put the post in.
There you go. You know, in front of her house.
Yeah. And, you know. They waited her out, I guess.
Interesting. Right. Now, this is a picture of the front of that power plant, right?
Right.
So this is what we would see from the street side, I guess.
Correct. From the main street side. Yep.
Right. So, but you had some other buildings there, too. So in addition to the power generating plant, you had something else
there. Well, they had the power plants on the left-hand side, and then there's an ice plant and a flour mill.
Okay.
The flour mill's on the right-hand side of that.
Interesting.
And again, they did it all. I mean, if you wanted flour, that's where you went, or you had wheat, that's where you took it to get ground.
And were these all owned by the municipality or just the power plant? Or there's a story there, I know.
Yeah, there's a story there. I'm a little unclear on that at this time.
Okay.
I think it was still, you know, Basin Power and Light, I believe, owned all of that.
Okay.
Right. Prove me wrong.
And again, for some of our younger viewers and listeners, people might wonder, what do you need an ice plant for?
Right.
You didn't have a refrigerator in your kitchen. You might have had an ice box.
Right.
And that would require deliveries of ice.
Ice.
And how do you do that when it's 90 degrees outside, right?
Yep. And so they would pack ice away in this facility for summer's use. And
during the winter, they would gather it up in the winter.
They would cut it off of the river and any place else that they got thick ice on, and, you know, pack it away in there and keep it cold. It was well insulated, so it would keep all pretty much all summer long. So.
Right. Best place to work, probably, in the summertime.
You know, you'd get deliveries, that's where you had to go to get your big chunks of ice and put them in your ice box.
And they were literally big chunks. They were blocks of ice,
Big blocks.
That would last, I don't know how long they would last, but...
Probably a week.
That's what you would do, but fascinating to me.
I know.
History nerd, too.
Well, it's
as someone has already noted
to think about how much time that would take.
You know,
you would go out and cut the ice, and you would haul it in, and you would pack it away, and then you would unpack it and, you know,
deliver it or sell it. Yeah.
I mean.
Every week.
Wow.
Every week, you're saying,
every
maybe.
Week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what people did.
That's what people did to survive.
And they thought it was the coolest thing, literally and figuratively, to be able to have storage
cold drink
in your house.
In the summer?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And to be able to preserve your meat or your whatever.
Your dairy.
You know.
Yeah.
That was part of it. So interesting.
Wow.
Very, very cool. Well, very good. And we're just about out of time this morning, Barna. I'm just making sure I have another picture here. Yep, but we do have a couple more pictures of some ditches, which we've talked about, right? How important they were to the whole economy farming town.
Yeah, early agriculture. That's the way they got water, and a lot of way people get water today. But, this is one of the head gates on coming off of the river. I believe this is the right-legged ditch again.
Okay. And again, you mentioned that a lot of these ditches that we have, or at least the oldest ones, probably date back to the very earliest times when this
1880s
area was opened up for settlement,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they dug them very early on, and they understood that, you know, there was a lot of usable land here, but to be able to get water to them, they had to dig these ditches to make that work.
Get it going. Yep. And again, that's hard work to dig a ditch.
Well, with a team and a big, what they call a slip shovel.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what you had.
Extremely hard.
Right. No bulldozers. No bulldozers. 1878.
When you hit a rock, yeah. You know, you got to dig it out.
Right.
Yeah.
Another ditch pictured here, too.
This is another ditch picture, and this is just east of where that power plant was. So...
Okay, so maybe the rise is of the Main Street area, and it kind of drops down towards the river there.
Towards San Juan Boulevard.
Yep. Right, so we're kind of looking south and west.
Kind of southwest, yep.
Okay.
And as I understand it, and you can see on this picture, you know, it's just barely kind of being held together there. But that lower area was really swampy down there where San Juan Boulevard is. And,
okay.
This ditch leaked for forever.
That's what happens.
Yep.
But there you go.
But this generated enough power to run that power plant for many, many years.
That current in that ditch.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, 100 horsepower.
Yes. Well.
That's what you. That's all you needed.
It's what you had
at the moment. That's true. That's true. And so again, to wrap up our conversation this morning, I guess once this pandemic kind of went away or calmed down, people were able to kind of get back to normal.
Right.
I mean, there was life after the pandemic. That's why we're here.
Absolutely.
And so when we think about current conditions, we know things are going to improve
because
they did.
Yeah, it's going to get better. There's hope out there. There's history to look back to and understand that, you know, this too shall pass. So just hang in there. Isolate, take care of yourself, wash your hands.
All those things.
Do all those things you need to do to take care of yourself.
Right. But again, we've been here before, and our community showed that we're built of tough stuff and grew from there.
And, you know, they pulled together back then, and I'm seeing where you're pulling together now, and we'll get through this.
Very true, true. Before I let you go, I want to ask you about the two exhibits that we've talked about here before.
Right.
We were all excited they were about to open, and then guess what? They didn't.
They opened for a very short time.
Maybe, hours. But you have two exhibits at the museum.
We do.
And I know you and me and everybody is waiting for maybe some of these state directives to change a little bit.
Ease.
And you have some plans in place, hopefully. So when they do, we can come, hopefully, and see these exhibits, right?
We do. You know, the first exhibit is called Gridiron Glory, the Best of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It is just a tremendous exhibit. So many names from that exhibit are the who's who of football.
Right. And I would say whatever NFL team is your favorite, you will see something from them represented in this exhibit.
Something in there from this exhibit.
Yeah. Very good. And the other one is...
The other one is titled Inside Out. It's about women's fashion. So we looked for something that kind of would balance the...
Football. Okay. All right.
aspect of things. But it's about both fashion and underwear that kind of influence some of that fashion over time. So,
okay.
Yeah.
There you go. And so I guess the word for the audience is to stay tuned.
Stay
tuned on
those.
Because I know you're working
with
the governor's office and the city to see about, hopefully, fingers crossed, reopening at some point over the summer.
You know, and we're going to have increased cleaning, sanitizing, social distancing still able to be done there in the exhibit. So, we're really looking forward to when we can be open our doors and be able to show those exhibits.
So are we. We'll have you back to celebrate that. So
absolutely.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, Bart, thanks for coming in. Thank you for all the information about Farmington 100 years ago or so.
Sure.
Again, just a fascinating period of yep. our history. And as you mentioned, just, you know, regular life was so, so different.
It was different. You know, it was a different time, a different pace.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're kind of getting back to a little bit of that maybe these days.
Well,
when we're talking with our families and sitting around the dinner table a little bit more than we have been.
I've spent more time with my family than I have for years.
Well, I hope that's a good thing.
But it's a good thing to be able to make those memories and be able to look back on this as, you know, yes, it may have been a negative, but it was also a positive.
I think that's a great point and a great yep. way to end the program today. So thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Stay well.
Good to see you.
Bart Wilsey, my guest from the Farmington Museum, right here with me on KSJE. Back with more in just a moment, everyone. The time is 8:48. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.